Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, seated next to, of course, the indomitable Kent Steinbeck. And we're coming to you from Herb's House, a coffee shop here in Dallas, Texas. Kent is showing us the logo on Herb's House. And we've got a great devotion in store for you today. So glad you're tuning in. We're in Revelation, so that ought to excite you a little bit. Chapter 2. In verse 2, and it's the letter to the church at Ephesus from the lips of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So I want to begin by reading this verse, Revelation 2, verse 2. Jesus says to the church at Ephesus, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. Kent, the title of this devotion is Marks of a Good Church. And this really is one distinguishing mark of a good church. And I know many who are listening to us today are searching for a church home. And you need to know what you're looking for. And this is one of the marks of a good church. And so I want us to look at this because Jesus commends the church at Ephesus for this. So, he says, I know your deeds. And the word deeds here is a word that speaks of dynamic works, where there's a lot of energy involved. This isn't a church that just sat on the back pew and just let, you know, the pastor or the elders do all the work. This was all hands on deck. They were all involved and active in ministry in serving the Lord. And Jesus clearly says, I see it. I know your deeds. And then he adds, and your toil. And Kent, this really speaks to the full commitment as they were involved in these deeds. You know, it's possible to do a deed and just kind of shuffle your feet and be kind of half in and half out. But here, this word toil means to do something to the point of exhaustion, to carry out a task until you don't have any strength left. So this church was not taking the path of least resistance, but really putting a shoulder to the plow and pressing on until they had nothing left to give. And then he adds one more word here, Kent. He says, and perseverance. And what that means is that they finished the task that they began, that they did a turnkey job. They didn't start it and then stop before it was done. And it's a Greek word that really means to bear up under pressure. And so regardless of the pressures that were being brought to bear upon their lives, whether at work or whether at home or whether from the culture, that they when they started a task, they did it until they dropped, and they carried through to the very end. I mean, what an incredible church this was! It was a church of doers. They weren't just talkers or listeners; they were in the game. And then he adds, and that you cannot tolerate evil men. These evil men would be unbelievers who were trying to worm their way into the life of the church and rub shoulders with the people and infect the life of the church with sinful practices. And it says that they couldn't tolerate it. They wouldn't put up because they were preserving the purity of the church. Certainly anyone was welcome to come to church, but not if you're going to infest our church with your evil agenda and evil ways of of living. And then he adds, and you put to the test those who called themselves apostles. There were those already circulating among the early churches who were claiming to be spiritual leaders and claiming to have this special insight into how to live the Christian life and really platforming themselves and putting themselves on a pedestal, and Jesus commends the church at Ephesus And he says, you put him to the test. You put him to a doctrinal test. You put him to a moral test. And you didn't put up with allowing them to come in and stand in front of your church and to influence them with their carnal doctrine. And Jesus says, and they are not. They are not apostles. They fell short of the doctrinal and moral standard. And then he concludes and says, and you found them to be false. So what a commendable church this is. And I think of churches today, even what they allow to be taught in Sunday school, or what kind of videos are shown in discipleship, or who they invite in to be a guest speaker, just because it may put more people in the building. The mark of a good church is they guard the doctrinal purity of the church, and they guard the moral purity of the church, and they do not allow there to be outside influence to come in that will defile the purity of the church. So, Kent, this church had so much going for it, and we need our churches today to be just like this.
Yeah. You know, Steve, this brings a lot of thoughts to my mind, and I think probably our audience. You and I both played athletics, and August was a time of, you remember two-a-days.
Oh, mercy.
I'm still trying to hydrate. The hard work and the pads and the putting that stuff on and off, and the heart, you know how just taxing that was to get up every day. And really, isn't it the same? We should have this same kind of mindset in our spiritual life. I think you said one time, and it really resonated with me, we're not on a cruise.
Yeah.
We're really in two-a-days,
aren't we? We're on a battleship.
We are. we need to embrace hard work, right? Yeah. It's not something, if we work hard in our church or in our Christian life, it's not an exception. It should be the rule, right?
Oh, absolutely. And for everyone in the church, as Jesus is addressing the entire church here, and he commends them. That they were all in serving the Lord, and no doubt there's perspiration, no doubt they're weary and tired, but they just they hit some rest and they go back at it again, and you and I understand what it is to have a work ethic, but that carries over into the spiritual life. It carries over into serving the church.
Right. So, Steve, let's, again, talk about our audience of the things that we need to be. What are these? What are these things? And they're just, as you say, putting the cookies on the bottom shelf, things that we need to be doing every day in our church.
Yeah.
Give me examples of what is that hard work that's involved?
Well, let's just begin in the middle and then concentric circles that move out. It begins in your home and serving your family. It moves out to those who are neighbors around you, and then ultimately to the church, and then people in the world. But it involves things like seeing needs around you and stepping into that and meeting that need.
So it could even be work in the nursery, or it could be work in the facility. It could be going out evangelizing.
You're touching on it, Kent. It can be singing in the choir. It can be an usher. It can be setting up tables. It can be taking down chairs.
Counseling.
It can be counseling. It can be visitation. It can be going to the hospital and calling on people who are sick.
Just on go.
You're just constantly on go. Someone dies, you go to the funeral so you can minister to the family when it's over. You take a meal to a mom who just delivered a baby. You help a widow with a task that requires some kind of physical strength, and she doesn't have her husband there anymore. It's just an endless list of ways that you serve the Lord. And, you know, there's a saying, you shop till you drop. You serve till you drop.
Right. All right, so Steve, this is so good, because this is really where the rubber meets the road, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so here's my question. Why is it that some churches and some Christians put it in neutral? Why is it, and even if they're taught, there's not a sense of, It's more of an unusual thing if we're working hard, or if I met with somebody, or I talked with somebody, or I'm doing this or doing that. Why is it that a lot of us are more inward and not outward?
Wow, that's a great question. Yeah, a lot of people come to church to be served, not to serve. Mm-hmm. And that's just, it's totally backward. Jesus, the greatest among you, shall be the servant of all.
He's acknowledging this.
Yeah.
That's what he's seeing.
And Jesus came not to be served, but to serve.
That's so good.
And so when we come to church, we need to have the mindset that I'm not showing up to be catered to. I am coming to pour out my life like a drink offering, to give myself away to others. And so I need to be mindful of how I can serve. Mm-hmm. And many times it's not in a program. It's just impromptu as life unfolds. And as you rub shoulders with people, you become aware of how, well, you know, I could step into this situation and meet this need. And it requires sensitivity. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes some of our wives are more in tune with needs around us, and we need to adapt some of their mindset of being able to see people as we pass them by and how we can serve them.
So one last question.
Yeah.
Steve, how much if we do this, if we get on offense and we get out there.
I like that.
And we go and we go and we go. How much does that help me get my mind off myself, too?
Kent, you just raised such an important issue. You know who gets more out of serving others? It's the one who serves. Mm-hmm. I mean, we receive the greatest blessing and the greatest benefit, and I know that to be true. You know that to be true. The more I give, the more I receive from the Lord.
Yes.
And it just comes back in different ways.
It does.
And what you just mentioned too, it gets my eyes off of myself, and I can be self-absorbed with a problem, or
it's easier to be that way, isn't it?
It is, and just kind of get in a black hole and spiral down about something going on with me. Mm-hmm. I need to look around and look away from myself, and how can I pour myself into them? And pretty soon, I've forgotten what I was so worried about.
You know, it's even, I see ladies in our church, they have friends, and they'll say, let me meet you up here for coffee.
Yeah.
And just go pour their lives into someone else. Just meeting someone for coffee and saying, tell me about.
Yeah, to be a good listener.
To be a good listener, whatever there is. It's just what a great message this morning, Steve, to be on go and outward and not inward.
Yeah, Kent, I mean, that's the message that comes from this text today. I mean, you just summarized it so well. So I want to encourage you to deny yourself, take up a cross, and follow Christ. And as you follow Christ, be looking to Christ, but also be looking to others as you follow Christ and how you can step into their life and speak into their life and encourage and serve them. The fields are wide unto harvest all around us. There are needs everywhere, and God will position you to minister to them. Well, thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope. This has been a great study in God's Word, and we must now put it into practice and live this out. God bless you.